trust and one another. Today is the 6th of August and the time is 2:20 a.m. And I'd like you to tell me your name, your date of birth and where you've come from.
Okay. My name's Joy McMillan. Date of birth is 25th of June 1969 and I've come from Knighton on Isle of Wight.
And when did you hear about the project?
Ooh, several months back, I think, when they started advertising for participants. And I heard about it on a forum called Ravelry.com, which is a massive knitting community. And somebody on there had posted to say it would be absolutely amazing to get lots of craft people up in the plinth and it'd be good and could people apply. So I did.
What made you want to apply?
I think partly the fact it was an Anthony Gormley thing, because I've seen some of his work and he does amazing things. And just the chance to think, I've done that. And you're never ever going to get a chance to do this again, which I'm sure everybody says. But yeah, it's a real once in a lifetime thing.
What are you going to do in the plinth?
What I'm going to be doing is turning balls of yarn back into skeins of yarn. And the yarn being hand-dyed with all the different colours of the London Underground tube lines. So it's going to end up being all the tube colours in a tube of yarn.
How does that work exactly?
It's done with a thing called a niddy noddy, which is a strange bit of spinning equipment with a wonderful name, which is a sort of thing, it's like a T-shape and then there's another bit at the bottom. And you're basically just twisting the yarn around it so it makes a loop. And anybody who remembers mother knitting when they were a kid will probably remember having to stand with their hands apart and hold yarn while it was wound into a ball. So that's what we're aiming for.
Is that something you remember?
It's not, because my mum didn't knit. Funnily enough, although she taught home economics, she was not a knitter. But yeah, it's something most people remember being forced into doing and having to stay there for ages.
Where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up? In Scotland. Originally in a place called Linlithgow. And then we moved when I was 7 to Erskine. So lived there until I went to university.
What was your upbringing like?
Really nice. Dad was a minister, so we were very involved in church things, and it was lovely because it was sort of like having a huge family. So very peaceful. I've got one sister, and we fought like cat and dog when we were kids, but love each other now and get on better now. So yeah, really happy. Yeah, pretty blissful, especially when you sort of listen to other people and what they go through, and it's because it's what you're used to, you don't realise it's anything different. And then you suddenly think, gosh, I was very lucky.
What was the area like?
Again, really nice. When we moved when I was 7, Erskine was quite a new town. It was very strange because we'd gone from being in a very kind of traditional village town to somewhere where it was sort of no shops and lots of housing estates. I suppose looking back, it's not something I'd choose to go and live now. But you don't really think about that when you're little. It's just where you are, and that's it. It just carries on.
How did you find the experience of moving to such a different place at the time?
Really, really didn't like it. I think probably I was at that stage that I was just very settled at school and I had my friends and everything, and then we moved. And probably for the first year, I was really, really miserable. Just didn't like it at all. And then I think play started in secondary school and it was like, actually, you know, everything's different, it's fine, and sort of resettled in again. But yeah, it's quite a bad time to, I think.
What were your main interests at that age?
I read a massive amount. Oh, and we had one of these old ZX Spectrum computer things. The very, very first computers that you could buy, and you used to have to feed things onto them in cassette tape, and they used to whine for about 10 minutes to play the most pathetic games. But you could program a bit on them, and that was interesting, because you could actually make it do something, and you know, it's so basic now. You know, the most basic mobile phone will do more than it could, but yeah, that was fun.
Where did life head after school?
Where did life head? I went to university. Went to Heriot Watt to study maths and statistics, and then I did a very, very boring job in banking for quite a while, and decided that was far too boring, so I retrained as a therapist. So I do massage and aromatherapy, that kind of thing. And then on the side, I sort of started dyeing yarn, and that's massively taken off, and it's now my full-time job.
Was that something you'd always been interested in?
I think I think yes, because I've pretty much always knitted. And it was a thing about I want something I can't buy. And knitting's now hugely, hugely popular, but a couple of years ago it was, you know, rubbishy baby acrylic or nothing. And it was really difficult to get interesting yarns and things with good colours. So yeah, it was that thing about I want to make something that I actually want to knit with.
Was it a hobby?
Very, very much so, yes. It was something that I didn't ever, ever think it would become a job. So yeah, it was just a really, really casual hobby, and it was, let's put a little bit of this on eBay, and it all sold, and let's do a bit more, and yeah, now it's a job.
Do you still do therapy?
I will do. At the minute, we moved down to Isle of Wight about a year ago, and we are in the middle of doing up a house. So we are building a kitchen. We haven't had a kitchen for a year. And once the house is finished, then yes, I'll go back to doing some therapy stuff. Probably especially working with kids, because that was a bit of what I really, really enjoyed.
What is it about children you enjoy working?
I think partly you get such quick results because there aren't years and years and years of stuff that you've got to dig through, and they're so brutally honest. You know, there's no messing about, there's no saying, yeah, that's great, when it isn't. And it's really, really satisfying to watch them get on that thing about not having to go through a lot of crap, because it gets sorted out early, and that's nice.
What made you go into the maths route originally?
It was what I liked at school. I liked the logic of it, and I liked the fact that there was a right answer. And that's, I still like puzzle things, and but I just do puzzles with numbers and puzzles with words.
How did it feel moving away from that into a totally different career?
It felt like I'd sort of been given another chance to do something, because working in the bank was just this absolutely rat race job, and you know, you went in on Monday and you watched the clock till Friday afternoon. And I started doing therapy stuff really as a thing of thinking, you know, just do something a bit different. Not especially thinking I was going to retrain and it was going to become a job, but just to do something else to kind of break the, this is all I do. And it got to the point that I was seeing clients weekends and evenings, and it was a thing about, well, let's make a choice and actually try and do this. And I sort of left thinking, well, if I have to, I can go back. And after about a fortnight out of it, I thought, I absolutely can't go back. There's no way I could ever do that again.
Do you feel that coming from a family that was involved in the church, that shaped you in any way?
I think it must have done. And it sounds weird, although mum and dad obviously were hugely involved in the church, they weren't horrible for religious. No, it was never... I suppose I never thought it was a big thing, because it was just part of what went on. You know, we went to church on a Sunday, and we went to Sunday school, and a lot of the people that we knew were through the church. And I guess if they hadn't been involved in church, they would have known people through something else. But it never felt like a huge deal. The only thing I hated was, because Dad was a minister, they used to come and do the services in school. And I used to be like, oh no, cringe. That used to be really awful. And he was great, and I look at him now and I think, I'd hate to do that in front of a bunch of kids. But it's that thing when you're trying to fit in and it's your dad, it's like, no, please don't.
Is religion something that you still carry with you today?
No, it's one of these things. I don't go to church. I think there's something else out there. But I don't kind of think it goes with the whole church on a Sunday. It just isn't what I believe, I guess.
Have you had that conversation with your parents?
Yeah, and it's something I think... It's almost that thing, I think what they would always say is they would sooner that I believed what I believed. You know, obviously, it's that thing, you know, they would love it if I shared the belief system, and I think every set of parents would. But they're realistic enough to think that, yeah, everybody's going to believe something different, so I don't think it causes them any huge grief.
You mentioned a wee when you said you moved to Isle of Wight. Who is that?
Wee is my half, Bobby Naylor. So yeah, we got together what, about 8 years ago, when we were both living in the Isle of Man, and then about a year ago we decided that we wanted better weather, So we moved to the Isle of Wight for the wettest summer on record, into a house where every window leaked.
How did you meet?
We both used to work with the Samaritans. So we knew each other through that.
How did that come about?
When I moved to the Isle of Man, I moved with work because I'd been offered a job in banking. And I didn't really know anybody when I went out there, and it was very much one of these things of thinking I have to do something to meet people who do not work in the bank, because it was this very, very closed little space. And I'd thought for a while that it would be nice to do something that was actually useful to somebody else, and just thinking, let's go and do this because it's a bit of a jolly. So it was just one of these things that they've been advertising for volunteers, and I thought, yeah, I can give this a go and see if they take me, and they did. So that was how I met her.
Could you tell me a little bit about your home life now?
Well, at the minute, home life is complete and utter chaos. We're living in a house that has no kitchen. We have a builder who at the minute is building the kitchen, and our builder's son, who breaks into periodic bursts of very badly sounding song. Poor Ryan, he's lovely. He's helping out his dad for the summer. So it's great. So we can actually now look at the house and think, yes, we've been there a year, but it's actually starting to take shape. So at the minute, it almost feels like we're camping in the house. We haven't quite settled in and got everything out of boxes, and it feels not unsettled exactly, but it's not going to be how we'll live in the house yet. So I don't quite know how that's going to be. So day to day, it's very, very much partly trying to do bits and pieces for the builder and pick a kitchen and look at tiles and all the things that you do when you're trying to work done. And I guess the other side of it is running the business, selling yarn and so on. So I'm always trying to get stuff dyed and then photographed and onto the website, and orders packed and sent out, that kind of thing.
How do you combine the two aspects?
There tend to be piles of yarn absolutely everywhere, but it's bliss because it's my job and I can do it within reason when I want. If you need a morning to go to B&Q, we can just go, so it works quite nicely. It's good.
Do you feel settled there?
Yes, I do. It's very much home, and I think, although in some ways we're not quite settled in the house yet, we love the area. It's that very, very much old-fashioned community, and everybody in the road gets together once a month and goes to the pub for lunch, which is nice, and it's such a lovely way to meet people. And it's, I think, you know everybody in the road really quickly, which is very unusual now. So it's nice to have had that, and that was what we wanted when we moved. We didn't want somewhere madly busy where we wouldn't know anyone.
And what does the future bring? What do you hope it brings?
I'd like to go back to seeing patients a bit, and I want to keep going with the yarn business, really, to sort of see what I can make it into, because it's something that started from absolute scratch. It's really exciting to sort of think, well, actually, where could this go? And because so much is done online now, it's pretty much sky's the limit on it, and that's very scary and very exciting.
Is the business centred around an online?
Absolutely, yeah. We sell through a couple of shops, one in London and one up in Darlington. But apart from that, it's all done online.
Has that changed from when you first went into business?
When I started selling, I was just selling through eBay, whereas now I've got a website of my own, and it's all done through that. So it's just sort of got bigger and more bits to be done, and that's when you realise the joys of being self-employed, because you don't have a marketing department, it's you, and you don't have a finance department, and that's you too.
So coming back to the plinth, what do you hope to gain from the experience?
I think partly the feeling that I've actually made myself do something that's totally out of my comfort zone. Yeah, to sort of think, actually, you know, that's something that I would probably have looked at and thought, yeah, that would have been nice to do that, and then not done anything about it. So I'm glad that I did. And the other massive thing that I wanted to do was actually to try and raise some money for a project out in Peru called Mirasol School. And it's based around a school set up in Peru where they're trying to get education for people who basically have nothing. And so far we've raised about £600 for that.
Have you been involved with that charity for long?
Not really, no. The reason I got involved with it is the chap that I buy a lot of my yarn from is very, very heavily involved with them, and he goes back and forwards and he does a lot with them, and he was telling me a bit about it, and it was one of these things, the more we looked at it, the more we thought, yeah, this is a really, really good thing to be doing. So that's why that one.
Have you got anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think I've talked plenty.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.